From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. The surge of migrant families crossing the southwest border is twice last year's level, the U.S. government said this week. Many of them are from Guatemala, pushed by poverty and failing crops. The nonprofit Catholic Relief Services works with families in Guatemala and thinks Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter, a time of fasting and penance, is a good time for Americans to think how to help people in need. Monica Rodriguez, a CRS project manager in Guatemala, talks about the challenges families face and why some make the tough decision to leave their home.
People don't migrate because they want to. They want to stay in their communities. But since they are lacking health services, education services, and job opportunities, that's why they leave.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cass. We're On the Record. Every day, thousands of migrant families cross the southwest border of the United States. U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported this week that twice as many families are crossing this year as at the same time last year, 36,000 families last month alone. Nearly half the unaccompanied children apprehended at the border, and more than half of the families who turn themselves in seeking asylum are from Guatemala. What pushes individuals, families, even children by themselves, to leave their home for lands where they're surrounded by a strange language and culture and unfamiliar foods and customs? We'll get some insights into those questions this morning from Monica Rodriguez, project manager for CRS, Catholic Relief Services, in Guatemala. Rodriguez is in the U.S. to speak to Catholics here, a lecture series CRS organizes for Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter. Lent started yesterday. It's a time Catholics are urged to fast, repent, and reflect on how to help those in need. Monica Rodriguez is speaking tonight at Towson University's Newman Center. Welcome to the show, Monica.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about your background. How did you come to work with CRS?
Well, I am a nutritionist back in Guatemala. But then I wanted to do more for my community, more for my country, since poverty and malnutrition are one of the highest problems in Guatemala. So I applied for a Fulbright scholarship, and I came to the U.S. to get my master's degree. So I studied at Tufts University in Massachusetts. So after that, I got to know CRS and how they helped for development in the countries. So I applied to a position there, and I got the position as a manager for a food security program.
So paint a picture for us. What is life like for the families you work with in Guatemala?
Well, Guatemala is a beautiful country, full of traditions and Mayan traditions, because we are descendants from the Mayans, and a population that lives in Guatemala that have no Mayans roots anymore. So the difference in the city can lead you to different conclusions about the reality that we face in the communities. So I work in the highlands of Guatemala, where extreme poverty rates are so high and chronic malnutrition rates as well. So rarely they have any kind of job sources or income generation activities. So that's what is affecting those communities. But Guatemala has had three consecutive years of droughts. So this is affecting how people were used to produce corn and beans, which are our basic crops. And because it is affecting, now the job opportunities are not many. So poverty is increasing in those areas.
So what kind of impact has the drought had on the crops? Is there anything to eat, or is there little to eat?
Okay, our agriculture is based on the rainy season in Guatemala. So we start harvesting our food after 6 months of rains. So if you don't plant because you don't have the rain, then you won't harvest food. So the farmers in Guatemala plant their own beans and maize as well. But since they haven't had the chance to plant and harvest, hunger is becoming a real deal in Guatemala. And because of this, they look for other places where to work and get income in jobs related to agriculture. But then in other places that were richer than these communities are no longer having these kind of jobs they usually went to. For example, coffee production has been affected by rust because of climate change. Hot weather is affecting this plantation, so they got a fungi called rust. And
This is not rust like on a metal. This is a fungus.
Yeah, a fungus. Yeah. So the opportunities for them to get a paid job is decreasing right now as well.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Catholic Relief Services Project Manager Monica Rodriguez. She's talking about the realities of life in Guatemala. She's in town as part of the CRS Lenten Speaker Series, and you can hear her tonight at the Newman Center at Towson University. Why are families fleeing Guatemala? Is it the lack of food, or are there other factors?
There are three main reasons. The lack of food, lack of job opportunities, climate change, and also violence related to organized groups, violent groups that come to the communities. People don't migrate because they want to. They want to stay in their communities. But since they are lacking health services, education services, and job opportunities, that's why they leave.
And are they coming primarily to the United States or to other countries?
First, they have the option to go to the coffee and sugarcane plantations in Guatemala. And if the coffee prices are not so good, they don't have like the regular jobs they have related to the coffee production. So they migrate to the border to Mexico to have jobs. Those are like the closer migrations we have. But people now want to come to the USA because they say they would find a better job opportunity.
And I'm trying to get a sense from what you've told us. Have things improved for Guatemalans over the last 5 years, or gotten worse?
No, it has got worse because the families were used to have their own beans, their own maize, and prices were better. But now prices have increased, and they still have to support their families, and there are no means of job opportunities around them. And still they get sick because they don't have the best water quality around, so they get sick. They have to pay for their own health services and health care. So they have to spend on that. And education, their children don't go because they need their salaries or their income in order to survive in Guatemala.
So the children need to work for
yes.
the family. Monica Rodriguez, Project Manager for Catholic Relief Services, talking about life in Guatemala and some of the factors that motivate people to migrate. We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll ask her about her work with CRS.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking with Monica Rodriguez, project manager for Catholic Relief Services in Guatemala. Monica, you set the scene for us with what you told us about some of the hardships that families encounter in Guatemala. Tell us about some of the work that you do with CRS to help families.
This is all about development, integral human development, because we come to the communities facing the reality that their soils are not the best, that they haven't had any chance to go to school. So especially women, they struggle with the situation that they don't speak Spanish in the areas where we work in the highlands.
They speak an Indian dialect?
Mayan languages.
Mayan.
We have 24 different Mayan languages
24.
In Guatemala. Yes, a big diversity. So they struggle with that. So we come with them and we ask what are their main problems so they can focus and say, okay, for example, we saw that they had chickens and we asked, you are not eating the eggs and the meat. And they say, you know, even though we have them, they die. And why they die? Because they get sick. So because we found out about that problem, we came with them and we said, if we vaccinate chickens, they want to die. Would you do that activity with us? And they said, yes. So we worked on paravets. That means that we are providing vaccination kits for these women. So they learn how to vaccinate chickens so they don't die anymore. And these women are charging a small fee for doing that. So now people see, oh, now my chickens are healthy and growing up and we can take them to the market and then we can get some money from those chickens. So they get income out of that activity. So it's like finding with them what the real problem is and how to solve with solutions that will improve communities' development.
There's a program called SegaMil, which focuses on the first 1,000 days of a kid's life, a child's life. Tell us about that.
That's correct. Chronic malnutrition starts when a woman gets pregnant because this woman was already chronically malnourished. So if she takes good care of her during the pregnancy months, she will have a healthy baby. But still, this baby needs to be taken care of with nutritional ways of finding the local foods. So, for example, if they have native green leaves around, they can feed their babies, but not before 6 months, because we promote from 0 to 6 months breastfeeding, exclusive breastfeeding, because if they introduce any other kind of foods, those food might be contaminated, so they get diarrhea, and then you lose the benefit of breastfeeding. And then how to motivate those women to use their own resources and teach them that during the days from where a baby is born until 2 years, that's the stage that they have to take care of them in order to have a healthy and well-nourished kid. That's why it's called the 1,000 days. So if you are providing health and nutrition practices to families, they will be nourished and healthy so they can perform a good job, or the children can perform during school years. So it's really tackling the causes of malnutrition and poverty so communities can have development.
Tell us a story about someone you work with.
Okay, you can see that situation as really bad, but we have really good success stories. I came to share with the Catholic community in the U.S. Doña Norma's story. She's a woman from Sega Mill program that she was facing the same challenges I was explaining to you. But she said, I want to raise healthy children. So when our program came to the community, she started working with us to really identifying what their main problems were. And she then became a leader in her community and started working as a volunteer to share the knowledge and experiences she learned in health, nutrition, and agriculture as well. And because now she knows that she has a value and her self-esteem has changed, now she's a mother that is having her crops. She knows how to feed her children, and she goes to the community meetings proposing new ways of changing their surroundings and the problems they are facing.
You're part of the Lenten Speaker Series for CRS that raises money for Project Rice Bowl. Can you tell us what Project Rice Bowl is?
Yes, Rice Bowl is an opportunity for Catholics and any other religions that they think they can support other people around the world. What it means is that if I am so blessed with my skills and what I have, I can share with others. So Rice Bowl gives you the opportunity to have a prayer for 40 days and stories that you can see as Doña Norma, and there is another one from Sierra Leone and from Sri Lanka, that because of the programs we're implementing in those countries, they change their lives. Now they are the agents of change in their own lives, but also in the communities they live as well. So it's like putting inside their rice bowl box all the sharings and blessings you have, and thinking about others during Lent before Easter.
Well, I'm grateful to you for telling us about it. Thank you. Thanks, Monica.
Thanks to you, Sheila.
Monica Rodriguez, project manager with Catholic Relief Services in Guatemala, will speak at Towson University's Newman Center as part of the CRS Lenten Speaker Series tonight at 8 p.m. We've got more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.